back. This podcast is scheduled for one fall. With a 60-minute time limit coming out of the black corner at a combined weight of 666 pounds, recording to you from the dungeon. I'm your boy, Xander Hobbs. This is...
I'm Bobby D.
And once again, we're bringing you another edition of the... Wrestleocalypse!
It is upon us.
Yes, indeed. We're back for yet another hard-hitting episode of the Wrestleocalypse. We are coming off a heavy wrestling weekend with NXT No Mercy on Saturday, Wrestle Dream on Sunday. So without any further ado, let's get into it.
Yes, indeed. Oh, man, No Mercy. Classic NXT PLE pay-per-view, if you will. Just like, what was it, 8 matches, 3 hours, just perfectly paced. Best matches saved till the end. Classic. What we all have come to love about the NXT brand from the days of, you know, Ciampa and Gargano going at it, or, you know, Adam Cole, Bay Bay and the Undisputed Era going at it, or whatever their thing was called.
Yeah, dude. They did a nice pivot with this and delivered a stunning premium live event. I enjoyed it from top to bottom, but let's just hit the highs and like the mids and then everything in between. We can do that.
Yeah, definitely. So the match started off with Breaker versus Corbin. We've talked about Breaker a lot, pointing for him to take the title off Reigns in 2024. It was weird. Like we talked about it. We watched this live. Like the crowd was kind of confused because, you know, there were basically like two heels. Who do you root like? And they were kind of wrestling heelishly too. So it wasn't
a bad match by any means, but as psychology wise and, you know, getting the crowd involved, the crowd was kind of sitting on their hands because they didn't know what to do. You know, like Bobby was saying, both guys are heels and you got to be careful when you do a heel versus heel match, because most times it's going to like go off like a fart in church. But this one was a decent match. I can't take that away. Both guys showed up and, had some good spots in there. Let's see. We wanted to do the Fatal 4-Way first.
Yeah, I like the Fatal 4-Way. I thought it was fun. I'm glad that they put the little vignette beforehand, because as a casual fan just checking in on Peacock, because I like wrestling, I wasn't up to date on like what all of this was. So I liked how they kind of explained why it was going to be a Fatal 4-Way. Obviously, a little bit of shenanigans with the Don going to the back and then coming back with the bad knee. Really love the Creed brothers. I think they've got a lot of legs, you know, and they keep doing what they're doing. They're going to have an opportunity. You know, I would love to see them with, I'd like to see them on the main roster with Chad Gable.
Yeah. I think they would be a good addition to Alpha Academy. They totally fit the bill with them. They have high power explosive moves. And I think with Chad Gable as the forefront, the mouthpiece, those guys can go far in the tag division.
Yeah. And like, even in that little vignette at the dinner table, like they definitely were trying. They're willing to like have a character and do that stuff. So I really like that. But a Fatal 4-Way like that, I didn't even know who the fourth team was, the gangsters with the lowrider bikes.
Yeah.
I was like, who are these guys? But obviously, like we talk a lot in, for instance, AEW, it's really hard to like, so everybody got a little bit of a spot, but it's never going to be the greatest match. Like,
no.
So, but I did like it. It was fun. Dirty Dom versus Trick, obviously, kind of a little weird because they had the whole shenanigans with the referees. I don't think they needed that necessarily.
Yeah, a little overbooked. I was glad to see Trick pick up the win. And as we know, Tuesday already went off and they switched the title right back to Dirty Dom, because I think they're setting up something else. But it was cool to see Trick win. He's super over with the crowd. I mean, that's a good omen for him. I don't get this quick title switch. I was never a fan of those, even back in the Attitude Era. It just devalues the title. And I know Dirty Dom, they want as much heat on him as possible, but he already has heat even without the title.
That's why it was weird. I thought that same thing when I saw that, like, Rhea Ripley opened up Raw with kind of like the throwdown, like, you know, and it's like when she did that, I was like, oh, Trick's losing.
Yeah, exactly.
they're not that's not how they're going to break up the Judgment Day, in my opinion. I don't think it's going to be because they kicked Dom out. I think it's going to be more at the top with like Finn Balor or Damian Priest.
The guy it's looking like that's going to be ejected out of Judgment Day is probably Damian Priest, because I think the Finn Balor experiment has been over for a while. And I don't see them doing anything more with Finn Balor than what he's doing right now. And Damian Priest has the higher ceiling at this point. So I would go with the Damian Priest face turn. He was a good baby face as it was before he joined the Judgment Day, and he just lost some steam. But now that he's got it back, plus he's got money in the bank. So I just see a lot more legs like strapping the rocket on to Damian Priest versus Finn Balor. I'd like to see Finn Balor in a more substantial role, but he's in one of the main feuds. So like he can't really complain right now.
I know. We talked about that before, right? It's like, because we're big Finn Balor fans, like, well, I wish he was doing more. It's like, I don't know. He's like, he's basically main eventing and on TV every single night. I think Finn Balor probably feels pretty good about his spot.
Yeah,
right?
I don't think he's complaining.
No, and he just got off like doing him being in the ring with Seth Rollins, like, which, like, we've talked about. I mean, at this point, being in the ring with Seth Rollins is an honor for anybody.
Seth Rollins is the main dude on Raw.
Yeah.
There's him and Cody Rhodes, but Seth Rollins is carrying the title.
Right. And Cody Rhodes is now more focused on the SmackDown storylines.
That's right.
So, but yeah, I like that. I really like the Dom match. I think it was a little clunky. Again, like we said, overbooked. Also, they didn't seem to have a lot of great chemistry. Not that they would, obviously, but I feel both of them showed out and had a good match. We talked about it. I really liked the Butch match.
Yeah, that was a good match.
It's just cool. It's like a good gimmick, because it's not over the top, but it gives you like this countdown type thing.
Right.
So every like round, if it will, has some drama to it, you know?
Exactly. And the way he structured it was really good. That match was the sleeper of the night, if you will.
Yeah.
But the honorable mention though goes out to Tiffany Stratton and Becky Lynch, who did an Extreme Rules match, which was excellent.
Excellent.
I mean, it was Tiffany Stratton's coming out party. You know,
it was.
And people who say you can't gain momentum in a loss are wrong, because they need to take a look at this match. Because even though she came out on the losing end, she really showed up some cool spots. I mean, she's just fluid with her swanton and her moonsault. She's just really good in the ring.
Yeah, she's certainly very athletic. She has a bit of power to her, but she doesn't necessarily come across as like Rhea Ripley, like, oh, that bitch is strong as shit, right? Like, it's pretty obvious. But Stratton has like a lot of athleticism that isn't necessarily like right in your face. She's still definitely a little green, and there were points in the match that Becky Lynch really like covered a lot of it up and helped her out, because she's obviously a fucking pro.
Right.
But yeah, absolutely. Tiffany Stratton went fucking bell to bell with the WrestleMania main eventer. Fucking has beaten Charlotte, has beaten everybody. Everyone is the man. So
yeah.
I thought it was really well done. I thought to have that on your shoulders to be the main event at this pay-per-view, I think Tiffany Stratton definitely showed up and showed out. And it was tough, to be honest, because they followed up the match of the night. In the running for match of the year, it is in there. I'm putting it in there. The Carmella's Dragunov match was fucking phenomenal.
It was tremendous. Like, Carmella Hayes fighting from underneath the whole time, and Dragunov just being this like crazed, you know, bull with this ton of momentum that just won't stop. That was really cool. And it was clean. It was a clean ending. There was no shenanigans, and it was a well-deserved win for Dragunov. And it was just such a physical match. I mean, nothing's going to be as physical as him and Gunther, but this one came pretty goddamn close.
Yeah. And I think it was like, I think it really showed a whole nother, it was also like a really good performance by Hayes. Like,
yeah,
the way he just wrestled the whole match was so good. And like, I love the moment where like he caught Dragunov's chop and like that changed the momentum. Like that's like fucking movie storytelling shit. That was like, it pumped me up. It pumped the crowd up. It was like so good. And just, yes, like you said, the relentlessness of Dragunov. But also I love when Hayes kicked out in the near fall, his exasperation that this guy wouldn't quit. Right. Like,
right.
And then just the way he throws those H bombs, like, dude,
I mean, you get a flying forearm to your face, like you're going down. Like,
yeah. And he throws them so good.
And they didn't overdo the near falls, which is what I like. You know, they came at the right time where they should have been. It's just like, I mean, the pay-per-view, which we're going to get to WrestleDream in a minute, that was night and day from the WrestleDream pay-per-view. And even though the WrestleDream pay-per-view was good, I mean, I just like the structure of how WWE does their matches a little bit better.
Yeah, and I would argue almost like, we talk about it a lot. Like, this is kind of a good transition, right? WrestleDream had 15 fucking matches.
Serious.
Like, that's a lot. Like, versus 8.
Yeah.
I never got tired of wrestling watching NXT.
No.
Like, yeah, I got up and I got a drink, but I was watching it. I came back to the couch. Okay, cool. Like, it was just, it's like, when did we get to the point where they have to be so long and have so many matches? Like,
that's just the problem with AEW. They put in so many matches and then a lot of the matches don't really end up being worth a damn. And it kind of like devalues the pay-per-view, because to me, like, WrestleDream was kind of almost like, I don't know, kind of a like a overabundant dynamite. That's what it just felt like.
Right. And who knows, because oftentimes they do these super crazy dynamites.
Exactly.
Like, why did this one cost $60? Like, what made this one
right
different or special? But they did have some really good matches. Just head to head, I enjoyed. What I didn't watch the whole WrestleDream, but I like the NXT. I like the entirety of the NXT pay per view. Even the low matches were still fun, and it flowed really well. It was an awesome experience. Loved hanging out with you at your joint. So WrestleDream again, classic AEW. Some really great matches, some big duds. Lot of sitting watching wrestling.
Right.
I really do believe, though, like, we are in this golden age with Daniel Bryanson, Bryan Danielson, the American Dragon. Like, he's obviously been given the power to call the shots. So he's just going to set up all these great matches. I love that Zack Sabre match.
It was great. Like, that was a great match. Do I wish there was like a little bit more like heat to it? Yeah. But then they just put on a fantastic good match. I think it was match of the year caliber. I think Danielson had some better ones, but it was still good. It was good. And I guess the Don Callis family is still rolling on. That was one of the main points of the show, which we knew was going to happen.
Well, like, that's what you said, right? They had like the time for Kenny Omega to win is not now.
No, we're trying to get this Don Callis family faction rolling. So I understand what they did there. But what the main part of this WrestleDream that we got to talk about is the return of one rated R superstar.
Yes, which I believe he was able to maintain. WWE did not renew any of those trademarks from what the dirt sheets say. So it is the rated R superstar. We call him Adam. You may know him as Edge. I mean, it's one of those things. I think it's like, we talk about how in wrestling, a lot of times the whole thing is like, they want this surprise and they want this pop. And I'm pretty sure if we go back and check last week, and definitely the texts, everybody was pretty sure that he was going to be at WrestleDream.
Yeah. And before we get into that and everything, well, we just did, but that match with Christian and Darby Allin, what did you think about that?
I mean, I don't know. I thought it was a little bit gratuitous.
We all know the only reason it main evented was because of what happened at the end.
But, right, because they needed to have that moment at the end to close the show.
Exactly.
But, like, I don't know. I like Darby Allin. I've liked him for a long time. but I've been liking him less because I feel like he's kind of becoming this, like, in a way, like a gimmick. And some of the spots were just like, it's crazy that, like, I don't know, a month ago, I mean, like, literally Jungle Boy may not ever wrestle again. And Phil is fired because of, like, we're not going to put you through a real window on a car. But yet, like, Darby Allin's just taking spine busters onto the fucking, the steel steps off the apron, right? Like, it seems all, like, again, it seems weird that some, like, and he's not going to last. That's what sucks. It's like, eventually he's going to have a really bad injury and he's not going to come back the same way, and it's like, you know, the way he wrestles, he's like, I love his character, and but
he's not gonna last, not doing shit like that.
No, not especially when you're 120 pounds dripping wet with, like, your tights and your jean shorts on, you know.
Exactly. So do we want to segue into what happened on Dynamite, or what we're kind of jumping all over the place here?
Yeah. So Dynamite, go jump into that. And then we can also talk about Raw just a little bit if we didn't catch all of it. But
Dynamite was their 4-year anniversary of AEW. And to be honest with you, it didn't seem like a 4-year anniversary show.
Like, no, it didn't. First off, because it was in fucking Stockton, California.
Right.
Just going to go saying, like, and I guess that shows that they weren't really taking it seriously as a big anniversary show, as obviously, because they just had their third pay-per-view in 4 fucking weeks.
Exactly.
Right. So it was kind of a dud. Like, and I guess the best part was, again, they got Edge on or Adam or whatever he's calling himself on TV. But it's like,
that was the best part of Dynamite.
And what, Sammy Guevara didn't wrestle because he's in concussion protocol. Is that what I saw?
Yeah.
So,
but Edge's promo, I want to talk about that for a little bit, was fantastic. And just with Christian standing there, and you'd think that they're going to get their tag team back together, and Christian just drops the go fuck yourself. Nuclear heat. Obviously, Christian is a pro. He knows what he's doing. I mean, that's a good setup. I mean, if that's what they're going to do, is have them two go at it. But I think Christian, we've talked about this before, has been doing his best work right now. Like, he doesn't have to do much in the ring, and he's just cutting these fire promos. And he only said, like, 3 words. And it was just, the heat he got was tremendous.
Oh, 100%. 100%. And that's really, like, that's the payoff, right? Everybody wants them to somehow interact together. And whatever that is, the crowd is here for it. But yeah, I think this Dynamite really encapsulates some of the problems with AEW right now. Like, it's just kind of all over the place. Like, like, Phoenix went up against Nick Jackson from the Young Bucks, and that was fine, but it wasn't, like, a great match.
It was a nothing match. Like, no build to it, nothing. Like, it's just, I don't know. A lot of it was just all over the place, like you said. Now Hobbs is part of another group. It's part of the
Dark. And Wardlow just came back with, like, and just what, he squashed one of the Varsity Blondes? Well, yeah. The other Varsity Blonde's gone, right? He's going to
be he's in WWE now.
NXT now. So, and that was kind of weird. It's like, I don't know, Wardlow, it's just, part of it is, like, I guess the evolution of AEW is, like, Wardlow was such a big thing and they've just kind of, like, moved on from him.
Right. He lost a ton of momentum and I just don't know how he's going to get it back because they don't know how to book their big guys and they're either, like, just lackeys or they get them on this monster push and then they lose momentum. So I don't know what they're doing when it comes to that.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely am not opposed to the whole MJF, Juice Robinson, Bullet Club, Gold. Like, if that's what MJF is going to be doing now that Adam Cole Bay Bay is getting 2 surgeries on his busted ankle, which, fuck, dude, that sucks for him.
Yeah, he's going to be gone for a long time.
And he just came off that concussion, and he's like, this is probably the most fun and best stuff he's been doing since NXT.
That's what I was going to say. Like, he was on a roll, kind of. And, like, this, from a freak accident, I don't know, like, what it is with the wear and tear on his body. I'm not living in his body, but apparently it's something serious, and it's kind of sucks. It actually really sucks.
Yeah, I mean, ask Dolph Ziggler what happens when shit like this happens, you know? Exactly. But I do like the prospect of possibly at one point MJF yelling somebody to scissor him, daddy. Because that's like, they're kind of teasing that with Max Caster and like the whole thing. And like, obviously they have to have, MJF has to have some sort of like backup like thing.
Right.
And I did read something, and I'm not entirely sure, so I'm, I apologize if I'm not giving anyone credit, but I never really thought about it this way, but it was like, they let Max be really funny and kind of do that shit for the ROH tag teams, but for like the AEW title, he's like really serious.
Exactly.
And I like that, because I think it's really helped improve his title run.
Yeah,
you know, certainly this run with Adam Cole.
Yeah, his title run's been picking up steam, because it was kind of like just treading water for a little bit, especially after the Danielson feud. So this is a good deal that they're doing. So hopefully they just punch it in right, and so we can get some good shit out of it.
Yeah, I hope so too. And like I said, it sucks that Adam Cole went down, because like, he was doing his best work, and it was just really good. Right.
Let's hit on some little pieces of Raw before we go to the break. I thought Raw was all right. Drew McIntyre's slow burn heel turn is working out pretty well. He needs a fresh coat of paint at this point. Rhea Ripley came down and kind of just threw down the gauntlet and gave some ultimatums, which fast forward, we knew what was going to happen on Tuesday, like you said. And then we had the match for the main event was Tommaso Ciampa going up against Gunther for the Intercontinental title.
Yeah. And that was a good match. Like,
you know, and then Johnny Gargano made his return.
Of course, which they've been teasing that with all of the like, where am I wanted posters that Tommaso Ciampa had been putting up everywhere.
Exactly.
So, I mean, that was the payoff I think that everybody wanted. Did Becky Lynch wrestle Tegan Nox?
No, because Becky Lynch has like she's not medically cleared.
Oh, okay.
She had that thing with her elbow. She had like 11 stitches. So
yeah, well, we saw that. It was super swollen on Saturday.
They showed like a graphic picture of it. Like, it was pretty nasty.
Hey, that's extreme rules for you. No, what did she say? Weapons will be used, bodies will be bruised. Something of that sort.
Something like that. But that was our first half, unless you have any other things we need to go over.
No, man, it's 8:29 and we are running on schedule. That's how the Wrestleocalypse train rolls.
We're going to take a quick powder and we're going to get back to you with some hard hitting cool shit.
All righty then.
Once again, we're back with your favorite segment, my favorite segment, Bobby's favorite segment, and the Dark Lord's favorite segment. What do we like to call it?
We like to call it cool shit. Sorry about your luck, Dark Lord. It's cooling you off. It's so cold it is, son.
It's been hot lately, but even though it's been super hot, the mail never stops.
It doesn't. It doesn't. I took the Prodigy, the actual Prodigy, not the one who just wears Prodigy on the back of her jacket like some people in NXT. I don't agree with that, but whatever. That's a different story for a different time. We took her to the pumpkin patch and it was blazing. I literally was hiding in the shade.
Dude, I couldn't even imagine.
Yeah, but I obviously persevered. I survived because I knew the mailbag had to be read today. So let's get into this. Thanos was right, obviously, because he got rid of half the people, right?
Exactly. I assume
that's what that means. I've been a wrestling fan since the Attitude Era. Oh my God, this old school guy since the Attitude Era. I love it. And Edge has always been one of my favorites. How do you guys think TK should handle Edge's booking? Do you guys see him holding the AEW title in the near future? Thanks for the content. Keep it metal.
Well, I don't know. Do you want to take a stab at this one?
So, first off, I don't see him holding the AEW title in the future. I think, hopefully, I believe that Tony Khan sees the error of his ways with strapping CM Punk so soon. And I think the reality is you have a lot of good people in line and you shouldn't just bring some guy in, hand him the keys to the kingdom. And I don't know how he should handle Edge's booking. It's like they're in a really weird spot right now.
Yeah, the top of the card is not that crowded because MJF's title run is seemingly took like a back. Well, now Jay White's up there, but there's not really anybody in contention for MJF's title. But I think it would be too fast to book Edge into the title picture. I just think, like you said, we got to learn the mistakes from the CM Punk debacle. Not that Edge is going to be just burying the whole company. Edge is a guy that does business, and we've talked about that before. But I just think he should just keep him right now with Christian. That's the hot feud. And
yeah, maybe sprinkle in some Matt Hardy stuff in there too, right? Because all the marks will be like they can totally play that a little bit too. And let him win some matches and do some stuff. Like, I think that's really what it is. The crowd, people want to see him, right? And so let him go, let him wrestle matches. Like, I think just keep it kind of, and let him go, like, book the matches that people want to see. Don't worry about, like, inserting him into any main storylines or title pictures. I think, obviously, the easy one, like you said, is with Christian, but, like, he shouldn't be beating Luchasaurus and taking the title.
No.
He shouldn't be beating Christian Cage and taking the title.
No.
So it's like, it's good because fans want to see it because they want that interaction, but you know, let him get his feet wet, let him get established. Like, and I definitely think there's going to be some shit with Matt Hardy. Like, there's no possible way you cannot have them.
Yeah, for sure.
Engage. But I agree. Edge, up until he got kicked out of Judgment Day, man, he was killing it on his second run in WWE. And I have no doubt that he will be a positive influence on AEW. And if given the opportunity, he will perform well in the ring.
Absolutely.
Got anything else to add about your boy, Rated R Superstar?
Nope, that's about it.
All right. I love this. It's Tony time, which I totally appreciate.
Yes.
I read that Jade Cargill is going to be at Fastlane and getting a monster push when she debuts on the main roster. Do you guys think she should be the one to dethrone Rhea Ripley? And how do you guys feel in general about WWE rolling out the red carpet for her?
I don't think she should be touching any titles or especially beating Rhea Ripley. No way. There's just no way for that to happen. And to me, I think because I read the internet and everybody's just so excited about it. And says, yeah, she's got the look of a star and everything, but she's still green. Like, she didn't have a good match until she fought Statlander for the second time.
Yeah, and that was on her way out the door.
Right.
And, I don't even think WWE's really rolling out the red carpet for her. I don't think, like, I don't know, like I said, if she takes the title off Ripley, that would be the proof of the red carpet. No, I think, you know, they are very smart at marketing. They feel like this is a good get from AEW based on, you know, her whole thing. And so they're pumping a little bit. But I don't know. Like, I don't know. When we talk about who's dethroning Rhea Ripley, it has to be like, it's not fucking Jade Cargill.
No.
I'm thinking more like Charlotte, Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, like, we're talking about the top, right? Rhea Ripley is at that point now where she is, other than Roman Reigns, like,
She's like the top dog right now in WWE. Excuse my comparison. That wasn't meant to come out like that. But
no, you know, I was going to say, like, she's right there. Basically, it's like her, Seth Rollins, they show up and they work every fucking week and they do good shit.
Exactly.
And they're carrying the torch. Yes, Roman Reigns is like the guy for all intensive purposes. And I want to say, I do love the Jey Uso flirtatious advances on Rhea Ripley.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, you know what? I would I want to see more of Toni Storm, to be honest.
Dude, there can never be enough Toni Storm. This character she has is just awesome.
Perfect. And it's such a departure from what they generally do with women in. I mean, I don't know. Toni Storm was really good, so I don't think she gets into the most improved.
No.
But I want to say, like, it's cool that she embraced this character. And I feel like one of the reasons Julia Hart is in the most improved running is because, like, how good she's done with her character while also getting better in the ring.
Exactly. Because we know, we say this all the time, we do love good matches. Don't get us wrong. We do. But like, when you have a good character to back up what you do in the ring, it means more, so to say. You know, when you have these guys just doing a bunch of cool moves, that looks cool. But, you know, AEW's done a good job of just boring people out of that kind of wrestling, because, you know, it stops turning into a match and just turns into people doing moves on each other. And I think with people like Rhea Ripley and Julia Hart and Becky Lynch and stuff like that, they have good characters that just solidify their work in the ring.
Yeah, I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. All right, last question, Mr. Big Stuff. I've been hearing rumblings that CM Punk and WWE are in extensive talks. I'm not sure how much of this I should believe, but do you think there is potential in a CM Punk return? And would you guys be opposed to seeing that?
What's he going to do if he comes back? Like, everybody's like locked into feuds and stuff. I don't see. I know they could find a place for him, but like, I don't see him keeping up with these guys. He couldn't keep up in AEW. He's always getting injured. So.
And I don't think the crowd in WWE, like the crowd in WWE today, is not as nostalgic about CM Punk as the AEW crowd.
Right.
And exactly. The AEW crowd is nostalgic and they remember the pipe bomb and they're like, yeah, fuck yeah. The people wearing the Bloodline shirts at WWE shows, they don't want to see Phil coming out and, you know, running the show for less of a, you know what I mean? It's like, I just don't feel that. Like, he had a unique opportunity in AEW and it didn't work out for lots of different reasons. I've expressed what my opinions on those are on this podcast, and I'm not going to get really into it, but like, I don't see where, like, I don't know. I would like to see him in a feud with Seth Rollins and to see him get curb stomped, I guess.
Yeah, that wouldn't be bad.
But like, I think I agree with you. It's like, he's not good enough to get the Brock Lesnar schedule. And he's not healthy enough or in his prime, like, not saying anything. I don't think I could do the schedule either, but like, he's not reliable to be on TV every week.
No, not at all.
And the bottom line is fucking Triple H is not going to play games and play with him like Tony Khan let him. He's not going to have the control, like, 100%.
No, there's no way. Like, he's just going to be another cog in the machine. And, you know, that's how you probably should be sometimes, you know, when you've got people at the top like Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes, Jey Uso, of course, Roman Reigns, the Judgment Day, that the top of the card is stacked.
Drew McIntyre,
like, LA
guys,
Knight,
like
LA Knight, dude, John Cena, even like there's so many people at the top right now, and he's not going to want a mid-card feud. He's going to want to be in a main feud, and that's not how like Triple H is going to roll.
No. And so I think the extensive talks are probably just some bullshit, to be honest. And other thing is, like, it's crazy. Like, even if they didn't do the merger, Matt Riddle's fate was to be released.
Yeah, he was.
It was going to, but like, I guarantee once they like Dana White's like, fuck that guy. I don't like that guy. He's got to go. And they're going to tell you all this bullshit about like, no, it's separate or whatever. Hell no.
No.
He has a thing for, and I guarantee he has the same thing with CM Punk. He that like, I mean, I guess CM Punk at least got his ass whooped like legitimately. He wasn't like a dick about it, but he got paid a shit ton of money.
He got paid a lot of money.
So, but
yeah. That was our mailbag. If you want to get at us, have your questions answered or your comments be read, keep them short and sweet. And you can get at me at Xander Hobbs on Instagram. That's XANDER_HOBBES. Same thing on the Twitter machine or on the Threads machine. I'm sorry. Bobby, where can they find you?
They can find me, WrestleLocalypse, on the meta platforms, mostly Instagram and Threads. We don't post on X, and you shouldn't either. Posting on X is just basically supporting a anti-Semitic conspiracy theory riddled just nonsense platform. So if you post on there, that's what they're selling all these advertisers. Don't be a monetized daily user. Get on the MySpace thing, bring it back. Don't post on X.
Absolutely. But what are you watching besides wrestling though?
So we finally convinced the Prodigy. We have delved into the universe of Harry Potter.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, she still runs away when things get kind of dicey and scary. Yeah, dodgy. But yeah, she's into it. It was funny. We obviously, because it's October, we got the Amazon holiday catalog. And she specifically went looking for the Harry Potter stuff. So...
nice.
So that's cool. It's fun. I love it. It's you know, with kids, it's like they get in this rut of watching the same stuff. So now we have a new thing and there's like all the movies. And so it's fun. I really enjoyed that. We've been watching a lot of the seasonal shows, Halloween Wars, Halloween Baking Championship, all of that stuff. I really enjoy watching what these people do. Like there's a show like Outrageous Pumpkins and they just go crazy carving pumpkins. And I always love those shows. So that's been super fun. And that's really about it. The Harry Potter thing has been super fun.
Yeah, Harry Potter's going to be cool. I'm still on the Righteous Gemstones tip, but I started watching Ink Master again. I've been craving another tattoo. And started watching season 10 when they have three of the winners make their own teams. And then they go at it and make tattoos according to like, you know, pixelation, depth, precision, stuff like that. Just making tattoos, and it's a cool show. I enjoy it, and I like seeing all the different work and stuff that's done.
Yeah, we Betty Rebel and I watched a lot of the seasons, and one thing I always really appreciated it because we would watch that, and we'd watch that show called Face Off, which is like the special effects makeup.
Oh yeah,
and, I know that. Face Off, everyone was like, I love you, oh my god, oh sad when you leave. Ink Master was like, fuck that motherfucker, yeah, we're gonna sabotage these bitches. It was like,
yeah,
such like a hardcore like. And then the other thing is like, I really like Chris Nunez, I like Oliver Peck, I just don't necessarily think Dave Navarro should get to vote on tattoos based on what he has been on his body, but he's a good host. Like he's a good host.
Yeah.
It's just a tough thing because it's like, dude.
Yeah. Cause sometimes he's like the swing vote and it's you shouldn't be the swing vote. Like
he should have to give the vote. He should have to do the first vote.
Right.
So everybody knows where he stands, but it is a cool show. I'm a big Chris Nunez fan.
Yeah, me too. I like him a lot.
Oliver Peck's good too, though. I just like that's not necessarily my favorite style of tattoo.
I'm just not a fan of American traditional. I just don't like it. I think Chris Nunez, like, I like the Japanese work and stuff like that. And, you know, Chris Nunez is like the Japanese artwork master. So they both know what they're talking about when it comes to tattoos, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and line work is line work, right? Like,
exactly.
Regardless of. Whatever
whether
it
you're
is.
Doing traditional or whether you're doing Japanese, like lines mean everything. And yeah, I can't tell you from seeing tattoos from other people and stuff like that. There's a lot of tattoo artists that have busted line work and you can tell.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think it's really interesting the like the new, no, I don't know if it's new, but just like there's, I see more and more of the like super thin line tattoos.
Yeah.
And it's cool. Like I, you know, obviously my shaky ass hands, I could never imagine doing anything like that.
No. And like canvas as skin as your canvas is way different than drawing on a piece of paper or something like that.
Yeah. You're relying on the person to stay still. Like exactly. When you're doing that one single line, it's pretty crazy.
I like
when I want to say there's a guy in LA, like I think his name is Dr. Wu. I think that's what his name is, but he does all of these crazy, like just single fine line tattoos. And it's like,
yeah,
it's a cool art form, man.
Yeah, I haven't seen too many of those fine line tattoos, but I do love tattooing. I got a few myself. So it's just a cool thing to watch. And it's an awesome show. So it's, you can catch that show on Paramount Plus. And then, of course, Righteous Gemstones on Max. Oh, yeah. And we also started The Jinx with Robert Durst. That was like, yeah, it's right.
It's about Robert.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, it's about Robert Durst, and we just started it, so I'll have more for you on that when we get there. But what I do want to get into is our offsides and delay of game. We have a lot to talk about. This is the segment that takes up the most time, so let's just get right into it.
Yeah, man, what a rebound performance by America's team. Like people think they would be reeling after that embarrassing loss against Arizona, but they weren't. They got back to work, they showed up, they showed out, and they dominated once again with their defense. I feel the offense still has some things to work out, especially in the red zone. They've left a lot of points on the board, but you know, after that Arizona game, wondering if the Diggs loss was like going to derail our season. I think this week definitely proved that that defense is legit. And as long as they keep doing what they're doing every week, that team will have a chance to win a game.
Yeah. Cause they got a big task ahead of them this Sunday.
Ooh, Sunday. This is basically, I mean, let's be honest. It's Cowboys, Niners, and Eagles. Those are the top three teams in the NFC.
Right.
Eagles are 4-0, SF is 4-0, and Dallas is 3-1.
Right.
Getting a win here against San Francisco would be huge. It at least puts us in the you know,
conversation.
We could be a top two. It sucks because the Eagles are in our division, but it also is good because we get to see them twice.
Right.
So we have the opportunity. So, but obviously, as good as Dallas's defense looked, Christian McCaffrey had one hell of a game last week.
Four TDs.
Yeah. Which generally speaking, that means that everyone says he's the MVP and he's going to get injured this week. So that's just based on history, but it's pretty impressive. Like I'm not a big Niners fan by any means, but definitely I would say that the Dan Quinn Cowboys defense versus the Niners and the their offense is going to be, it's the matchup of the week for sure.
Yeah. This game I wanted to talk about though was the Dolphins and the Bills.
Yeah.
Dolphins coming off that 70-20 shellacking of the Broncos and the Bills kind of stutter stepping their way, but Bills handed out a beatdown this past weekend. They took Miami to the woodshed.
Yeah. And I think it took a lot of wind out of the sails in South Beach, Florida.
I mean, because they have to see Buffalo again, this time in Miami. But I watched the most of the game, and it just seemed like Miami or Buffalo had an answer to most of the things Miami was doing, especially in the first half.
Yeah. And this is the first game that Hamlin played, right?
Yeah.
So that's obviously an emotional pick me up and everything. I mean, I still think the Dolphins are good. I think their offense is tremendous.
Yeah.
But again, it's like, this could be the difference between home field or not. Like, that's a big deal.
All these wins count. All these games count, I should say. They all matter. Because you want home field in the playoffs, especially like if you don't want to travel to a place like Buffalo when you're in Miami, that never works out too well. But
no. No, and Josh Allen, and it's not good when Josh Allen looks that good, right? Like,
Right.
Yeah, like he's looked good, but he just had that really crappy game, the first game of the season.
Right.
And that was against the Bengals, right? Like,
I don't remember. I don't remember who they played in the beginning of the season, but I know they lost.
Yeah.
But another one, the Browns laid an egg with Deshaun Watson being a game time decision. And we'll get to our picks in a minute. But the Browns are just, they played like the Browns that I know. And I don't even know if they probably would have done a lot better if they had Watson in there, because they had like a fifth string, like quarter or fifth round pick rookie quarterback that just didn't know what he was doing out there.
No, and I'm pretty sure they dialed the passing plays for him, which is insane. It's like, hey, how about you just run the ball?
Right.
Like, at least just try to, like, you know, but they didn't. He threw the ball. It was terrible. And I think Lamar Jackson looked good the week before, and he just carried that momentum in, and now he's got two good games, and he's going to be, like, I feel like he'll be rolling. I mean, he's legit. Like, Lamar Jackson's fucking good, dude.
Yeah, he is.
So that's probably not exactly what they wanted to do. Dude, the Rams show life. The Lambs keep escaping. Like, they don't have a lot of great, good players, but they're doing just enough. They have just enough to get the job done. I was listening to some stats, and like, you know, it's like their top players are still playing good.
Yeah. Puka Nacua like leads the league in receptions. And I think he does. And I mean, they're a lot better than what their record shows, and they're like overachieving right now. So, I mean, good for them.
Yeah, Puka Kanua, 9 receptions, 163 yards with 1 touchdown. I guarantee that is probably one of the top stat lines for receivers in last week.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's because fucking Stafford still gets the job done, and it's still they're still well coached. Like, and they're getting just enough out of their defense.
Yeah, exactly. Just some other odds and ends. Eagles struggle to put away the Commanders, but they still win. Commanders should have definitely went for 2.
Dude, like, you're not going to beat them in overtime.
No.
You have no chance. So, Ron Rivera, dude.
I was telling my dad's a big Commanders fan, that Ron Rivera needs to go, and they need to promote Eric Bieniemy to head coach.
Okay, so I was listening to the Bill Simmons podcast, and he was talking about whether Bill Belichick, what his future holds.
Right.
And he's trying to go after the Shula wins record, but like the Patriots look pretty terrible. And so the two teams that they kind of picked out were like, you know, San Diego with Herbert in a weak division. Belichick could probably do better. But they also pointed out new owner, Commanders. Like, it seems like they've got a lot of pieces, and maybe Belichick could end up there. I don't think it's going to happen. I think that in the end, like, but it was just an interesting thing. And like, the Commanders seem to match up really well with the Eagles.
Yeah, it's a division game.
They matched up well. They beat them last season. It's just sometimes it's a personnel thing or whatever. Like, they're still not good.
No.
You know, it's like they're not. I mean, it is what it is, but definitely not going for 2 really was just like, it should be a fireable offense.
Yeah, I believe so. But let's get into our games and our picks and stuff like that. And,
okay, just one more thing. Baker Mayfield's back, baby. He's back. He's leading the Buccaneers, dude, are 3-1. They probably are the best team in their division at this point. Like, they blew the shit out of the Saints.
Yeah.
And I mean, Carolina is awful. They have a midget as a quarterback.
Yeah, they're terrible.
So it's like, and who else in the NFC South?
I don't know that division very well.
No, because it's awful. But so I like that. It's a good story. Baker Mayfield, he got ran out of town for Deshaun Watson. A lot of people say he was injured. His shoulder was messed up. That's why he didn't play as well. He flew in, saved the day for the Rams. They vouched for him. He finds his way to still a very talented team in Tampa Bay. Like, they just won the Super Bowl a few years ago.
Yeah, like, they're all right.
2 years ago. Well, they still have talent. Like,
yeah.
And understand, this is the guy who took the Browns to the playoffs and won the playoff game. Something the Browns have never really seen ever before.
No, I understand. Like, I'm just not going to be like playing trumpets for the Buccaneers. Like, I really don't care.
Oh, I don't either. I like Baker Mayfield. I like the redemption story.
Yeah, he's all right.
All right. Well, let's get into this week. All right. Cowboys, Niners. So this is interesting. Both teams are 3-1 against the spread. And this line actually opened a little bit less than the line we have here. It opened at like, I want to say it opened at like 3.5 and
yeah, it's moved to 4. That's what it was.
Which means obviously, like, you know, Vegas always wants equal money on both sides. So right now, Niners are favored by 4 and the over under is 45.
I'll take the Niners to cover with the over.
All right.
Got to keep it real here.
I know. But I'm going to take the Cowboys and the under.
Here, I'll put them in blue this time since, like, you don't think they're wrong.
Well, I'm just saying, I like red, obviously, like, I just didn't know what you had done. That's all.
All right.
It's a misunderstanding.
All good.
But yeah, man, this is the Sunday night game. This is going to be the biggest game of the week.
It's the game of the week.
What everybody's looking at, especially the Eagles. These are definitely two of the top contenders who really could probably go deep in the playoffs talent wise. And they always, even though the Niners have won the last 2 years of the playoffs, it's not like they were demonstrative dominating wins.
No,
they
I know.
Hard fought games. Dan Quinn really has a good scheme and his team is good. So it will be super interesting. I've got a bet with my brother-in-law. He's a Niners fan. So hopefully we win and I get some decent brews. This one I picked because I think this is interesting. I watched the Jaguars play last week. I really feel like they're starting to, like, I'm a big believer in Trevor Lawrence. I think he's, like, really good. And they played a little bit better. Interesting, they were in London. They stayed in London, whereas the Bills had to travel to London.
That's second home stadium.
Yeah, so there's no home team, obviously. The Bills are favored by 5.5, and the over-under is 49. I'm going to take the Jaguars to cover and I'm going to take the under.
I'll take the Bills to cover with the under.
All right. So you are taking the Bills and the under.
Yeah.
And I am taking the Jags and the under. All right. So I like this game too. There's a lot of 1.5 and 2 point spreads this week, which just is the worst thing ever, right?
Yeah, I don't like these ones.
So Falcons, though they didn't end up, they had some good moments against the Jaguars in London. They come back. The Texans, I picked them because they really believe in their quarterback, their rookie quarterback, man.
Yeah, they've been hitting all cylinders. I'll take the Texans with the over.
I am with you. I only have to write that one. I agree with that. I feel like they really believe in CJ Stroud, and he looks really good.
He does.
And I think with their division, they have a very good chance. I mean, they have a very good chance of making some good noise. So we're both taking the Texans in the under, right?
That's right.
This one I picked obviously because Eagles, this is our number one rival right now, both divisionally and at the top of the conference. The Rams have been surprising people. They bring a championship pedigree. Stafford can still sling the ball. The defense is getting just enough done. They're as well coached as any team in the league. The Eagles are only favored by 4.5 Rams at home, which means it's really going to be an Eagles home game because fucking anybody who plays, they have way more fans than Rams fans.
Yeah.
So, but it's a high over under. So I feel like obviously the odds makers feel this is going to be a back and forth game.
That's a lot of points.
I am. I'm taking the Eagles and the under.
I'm going to do the same.
As much as I want to choose the Rams, and I think the Rams do make it interesting, and I wouldn't be surprised if they end up pulling it out. But at this point, I just can't.
Nah,
I just can't go for that.
The Eagles are too good.
They're just proven, you know what I mean?
Yeah. All right, what's this last one?
The last one, another one of the Cowboys division opponents, but more importantly, this is the highest spread of the week. Even though the Dolphins laid the egg against the Bills, Vegas is still saying they're going to beat the Giants by 11. It's in Miami. It's forecasted to be a muggy, hot fall day. Big spread, big over-under. Giants have not looked good.
No, the Giants look pretty bad.
So I think this is I don't think this is a trap game for the Dolphins because after their drubbing, I definitely feel the Dolphins are going to win. I think the over-under of 50 is high, though. So I'm going to go Dolphins and the under.
Yeah, I'll do the Dolphins and the under.
I don't see any way that the fucking Giants win this game unless Tua gets concussed in the first quarter.
Yeah, right.
But the way he's been playing, I don't think that's going to happen. And like I said, I think they're going to come out and they're going to really try to make a statement after that loss to the Bills.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. All right. So now we're walking out to the ring, getting the resistance bands ready. What are you coming out to?
So I am coming out to a song called Blinded off an album by Shaped by Fire from a band that we have featured here many a times, or at least a few times, As I Lay Dying. Now this is from, I want to say it's like 2021 or 2022. So it's a much more recent album, but when I was going through just, you know, trying to find like just some new music and checking things out. I really like this song. It really, kind of hit those nostalgic points for what I remember and really loved about As I Lay Dying. So I was like, man, this is a perfect walkout song. So let's check it out.
I always like hearing As I Lay Dying.
Yeah, man. And this sent me down the rabbit hole after this. I went and listened to a bunch of Trivium songs, and then I listened to a bunch of All the Remains songs, and I just like kept going from there. So it was nice. Fun. I really liked it. But this song is good. It's not, you know, I'm not going to lie. It's not as good as some of the earlier stuff and maybe some of the stuff we've featured here. But it, like I said, it hits all the points, and it's still a damn good song.
Right on. I'm coming out to a band we've also featured before on the Wrestleocalypse. It's a band called Twisted, and you've seen them here and there with the Insane Clown Posse, but they left them a while ago, and now they're on their own label, Magic Ninja. This is off their new offering. with DJ Godzilla. And this is the opening track. It's called Pot Snob. And you can make any decisions, whatever you think about that, when you listen to it right now.
Stay high and hydrated because I'm faded. Don't have a favorite straight away, my pot is super complicated. Ain't no pepper puffing any circle of mine to a pot stop. That's a weed crime and you're wasting my time. Telling again, they be bringing up a restaurant and making a mess. I be smoking on that special top shelf times 10. It's 10 times better than any tree on your head.
Hit it, hold it till I choke. Blowing clouds to the sky, feeling I can float. Super high, not gonna lie, gon' take a toke. It expands in your lungs, it punches you in the throat. Smoke them if you got them, should've been had it lit. Heard you telling everybody that you got the head split. Leave a grown man on his neck shit. Creeping in your head, trying to wreck shit. Heard it all before and don't expect shit. I believe it when I smoke it and smoke it all how I have. I'm in search of that shit that you can smell.
Listen, always coming correct. Always coming out. They've been out since the 90s. It's the spooky season, so I thought I'd throw some of that in there with a little bit of our favorite little things that we like to talk about as well.
Yeah, man. And this song I feel is like exactly like a good NXT pay-per-view. It's 2 minutes and 40 seconds, not too long. Perfect. The pacing is super awesome. The lyrics are great. I was listening to it when we logged on. So
nice.
Love this pick, man. Love this pick.
Yeah, and you'll find that, Bobby's pick, the interlude and the outro, on the ever-growing playlist, Songs to Swanton 2, Wrestlocalypse 2023. If you haven't listened to it, do yourself a favor, check it out. Check it out.
Yeah, man, we are up after this. We will be at a tidy 60 songs, over 3 hours of music. We've got In Flames. We've got Run the Jewels. We've got Motorhead. We've got Pantera. We've got Misfits, Alkaline Trio, everything and anything you could even imagine. It's going to make you want to go backyard wrestling like motherfucking Jeff Hardy.
That's right. And since we can't top that, yours
truly. No, we can't, because we are the football experts. And that's what takes up our time now in the second half. But I'm loving it. I hope you guys are too.
Yep. Thanks for listening. Yours truly, Xander Hobbs.
Ours truly in this life, Bobby B.
And we at the Wrestlocalypse are always reminding you to show empathy, protect the environment and the planet, and support the Wrestlocalypse.
Booyaka Shah.
One baby to another, I said I'm lucky to meet you.